I found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me
is Faith Hertzberg.
We haven't done news in a while. News. All right. So with news, there's not a whole lot on the news front, guys. Like, it's really depressing. We are only, like, 3.5 months away from Star Trek Beyond, right? Like so it's April. So yep. May, June, July. 3 months away. And we still only have the teaser from December. I don't know what's going on.
It wasn't much of a teaser.
It was 90 seconds. It was nothing. It was practically nothing. And there was tons of fan outrage. And
I've had relationships that have lasted longer than that.
Well, 90 seconds? I would hope so. That's like, will you go out with me? Yeah. I'll go out with you. He burps. And it's over. I swear to God.
You blink and it's gone.
It's gone. No, but, like, the trailer, I mean, like, at this point in time, when Star Trek Into Darkness was coming out, we had, like, the teaser and two, like, decent-sized theatrical trailers. And, like, the movie to put it on would have probably been Batman vs. Superman, even though it got panned with reviews. I mean, it made a bunch of money, you know, up front. That would have been the movie to put a new trailer on. Something. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I really don't understand the lack of marketing behind this, because to me, if you're wanting this to be successful in that, you would be getting more information out there. Like, it kind of makes me wonder if they ran into a problem.
You know what the problem is? From what I understand,
lack of motivation?
That might be part of it, but, you know, Axanar has generated lots of issues, and it's got CBS and Paramount involved in this lawsuit against Axanar, and some people online who I've been communicating with, just, you know, just in comments and whatnot, I've seen people say, people think maybe this could be part of the reason why there's no trailer, that, and coupled with all the fan backlash at the original trailer. But I'm like, okay, so fans backlashed at the original trailer, then get something out new to fix it quick! Why are we waiting till, like, launch day for a new trailer?
Show them more, and, you know, actually address their concerns.
Yeah,
like, the radio silent.
We are missing something. We're missing something, and, like, you know, if we want another movie, this thing needs to be marketed. With no marketing, I mean, the Trek fans will come up and see it once, maybe twice, and then, you know, maybe someone will go see it. But I mean, there's no hype machine behind this. I mean, there was an app.
I have no interest at this point. Like, and it's not because I don't want to. It's just, you know, I don't know anything about it. So why would I spend my money to go and see it when I don't know what's going on?
And Into Darkness had an app that generated some buzz. They had, like, little quizzes. They had, like,
oh yeah, that was
screensavers.
So cool.
They had, like, a way to go see the movie 2 days early in IMAX, and I took advantage of that, and it was fantastic getting to see the movie in IMAX 2 days early. I've got the poster that I got from that hanging up above my Federation flag over yonder. You see, like, Faith is seeing me pointing, and that's doing nothing
I'm
for you.
I'm nodding like there's something that's, going on here.
That's doing nothing for you guys. But yes, I have the poster that they gave. Maybe I'll take a picture of it and put it up on our Facebook page. My wall of nerddom. I've got booze, my booze. I got my Star Trek glasses. I've got the tens from the old comics. They look like the old comic covers, but they're made out of tin or, you know, aluminum or something. And then I've got a framed Federation flag, and then the poster that I got from Into Darkness IMAX early screening, which is pretty cool. So, like, Into Darkness, you know, as much as, you know, fans, you know, panned it, it was critically acclaimed, it got really good, you know, meta scores, and it was marketed. Like, this thing needs to be marketed. We need another trailer.
Some sort of existence.
Please give us a trailer, CBS, I mean, Paramount. I mean, I'm almost scared we'll see a trailer for the new TV show before we see another trailer for the movie.
You know, now that you've gone and said it,
maybe
it's going to be what happens.
Maybe they'll get them on. The trailer will come out after the movie.
No. We get both at the same time.
Well, I'm
we get the trailer for the one. at the showing of the other.
It's like, coming soon, Star Trek Beyond. And then you see Star Trek Beyond. It's like, man, I'm so excited for this movie. I get to watch a minute and a half of it before I get to see the whole 90 minutes or 120 minutes or whatever it's going to be. It's going to be fantastic, guys. I cannot wait for Star Trek Beyond. I cannot wait for another trailer of Star Trek Beyond, even if I have to wait. Even if I have to go see Star Trek Beyond to see the next trailer for it, I will go see Star Trek Beyond to see the trailer for Star Trek Beyond.
The part I find most disappointing about all of that is the fact that Star Wars has actually jumped the gun on Star Trek right now.
Yeah, we got the Rogue One trailer, yesterday? And that movie doesn't come out till December.
I know, I got the notice about it. I haven't watched it yet, but...
You haven't seen it yet?
Because I want to sit down and watch it with my kiddo.
It's glorious.
And, I started laughing because I had that moment of realization of, wow, they actually jumped the gun on Star Trek. And it was just that moment of, wow, well played. Good job, guys.
Although, I've not seen any Bothans in the trailer, so I'm pretty sure I'm calling BS on Bothans doing anything in Star Wars, ever. Pretty sure Bothans are made up. That was probably a code name for something. I don't even think it's a real race. So, I mean, the trailer is almost entirely humans. I mean, you see some robots, but, I mean, like, it's all, I mean, yeah, humans, robots.
Maybe that's the whole reason why they decided to make sure that you did not see a Bothan, was to continue to perpetuate this myth.
Although, technically, the Bothans stole the second Death Star plans. I would assume they would have been, if they're sneaky, I would assume they're involved in everything. Although, speaking of Bothans, and speaking of Star Wars, there was this great meme I saw on Facebook, which I shared. It's got Admiral Akbar, it's in Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi, like, oh, the Bothans were killed. He's like, never send Bothans for anything. I send them for coffee all day. So yeah, the Rogue One trailer was pretty impressive, although they apparently didn't watch Revenge of the Sith, because Revenge of the Sith, you see Darth Vader and Palpatine looking at the Death Star, and like you can see the circle for where the laser is, it's there, but in the trailer, you actually see the laser getting installed. It's like,
Oops.
Maybe in Rogue One, maybe they disable the Death Star laser so it has to be replaced, and maybe it getting replaced is the last thing we see in the movie.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad thought.
Who knows? I mean, trailers. I mean, nothing's in order in a trailer, usually.
Well, no, they usually cut and pick, like, the best scenes.
Yeah. But, man, like, it looks impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing that for sure. Other Star Trek news. Axnar Larsuit stuff keeps bubbling up. You know, we mentioned it already. That might be a possible reason why we haven't seen another trailer for Star Trek Beyond. It may be having another, Axanar may be having another casualty, including, other than itself. Star Trek Continues. We had Michelle Specht on a couple weeks ago, talking about their next couple episodes and their Indiegogo that's going on right now. And they don't have a whole lot of time left, and they've only hit about one-third of their goal. So, I mean, guys, please, this stuff is tax write-offable. They're safe. They make sure everything's okay with CBS. They're a safe bet, and they've made quality episodes, so you should go check them out for sure.
Yeah, the guys that are doing it right, we need to make sure that we support more. Like, I mean, it's a shame that those that want to take advantage of the system and that just casually play with it and don't have any real respect for the sandbox that they play in have sort of kind of ruined it for other people, and hopefully it hasn't permanently ruined it.
And, yeah, I hope it hasn't either, but until this lawsuit thing clears up, it's going to be in this weird state of limbo. And, like I've said before, with Star Trek, the new series coming out, I'm thinking between Axanar and between the new series coming out, I'm thinking a lot of these great fan projects are going to start falling by the wayside just because fear of supporting out of the Axanar stuff that's been happening, and then fear, and then, there's no need to pay for independent Star Trek when we've got real Star Trek coming.
But see, that's not even the real problem that we're having. It's one or two jerks ruining the pool. That's what's happening. It's not even, hey, it's the fans really do have these awesome ideas and these wonderful things. And the guys that really do care about it have made sure that they do it in a respectful fashion. It's the ones that have been doing it with casual disregard that are making it so difficult. And unfortunately, that is something that is occurring not just in Star Trek, but across the board in things, is just people just lacking in respect.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. I can't think of anything else really big in the news. I mean, Rod Roddenberry's kind of, you know, been made executive producer of the new show. We've got, I think we've said that before, and you know, they've got Nicholas Meyer from Star Trek II and Star Trek VI, you know, writing for the new Star Trek series. I mean, it's shaping up to be something, it could be something pretty impressive, so... just waiting for more news, and my prediction for new news, since we did predictions on our year-end episode, is that I'm thinking that we'll see the first actual footage of it around Star Trek Las Vegas, because that's the big convention, and if they're going to do anything, like any kind of big details, like cast, you know, a first trailer or something, I'm guessing that'll be, you know, like a teaser. I mean, it may not even have anything to do with the... Because I'm sure they haven't even built the sets yet. But, I mean, something. I think we'll see something in Star Trek Las Vegas, and that'll probably be broadcast to the internet pretty quick after after.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, too.
So, that's it for news. And there isn't a whole lot. If there's something that I've missed, please, you know, email us, because we actually haven't gotten any new emails lately. And we love to get emails. We love to read them. And our email address is syntholics@yahoo.com. But today, we are going to talk about the episode, Reunion. And, unfortunately, we are down Aaron today, so we're going to do this episode a little bit differently. We're going to do a lot quicker of a recap, and then we're just going to talk about the episode. So, this episode starts off with a meeting between Kalar. She comes in a Klingon ship, brings Worf his son, and there's some, you know, kind of drama going on. She's trying to figure out why he accepted this commendation. And on the other hand, we've got Kempek, the leader of the Klingons, and he's dying. And so they got to pick between two people, between Gowron and between Duras. Anyway, Gowron and Duras show up, and they're trying to compete. Picard is given rights by Kempek that he needs to decide which one killed him, and also which one will be the new leader. Kempek dies, and then they go, and since Kalar is kind of the ambassador, she's kind of giving Picard all the, you know, the Klingon history and stuff like that, and so he takes the slowest means possible to get through this procedure, so they've got time to figure out which one's, like, the bad one. Although, we all know Duras is the bad one, because all the stuff he did to Worf, you know, he's got, you know, he's basically, like, got a big target. I don't know how anyone doubted that it was Duras. I thought, yeah. You getting ready to say something?
I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, do I want to make that point right now or do I want to make it later? Oh. But Klingons kind of have backhanded politics for guys that state honor and pride. They have no problem knifing each other in the back with a poison dagger.
Or in the gut. Oh, wait, no, or we haven't gotten to that yet. So they are annoyed that Picard is, like, drawing it out and Gowron goes to Kalar, and he's like, if I, like, you know, promise you a bunch of good stuff, will you help Picard speed this up? And, like, I love it. She's like, you speak like a Ferengi. I'm like, yes! That's, like, the biggest slam for a Klingon, like, being compared to a Ferengi. You can compare, a Tribble would probably be worse. But Tribbles don't barter like Ferengi do.
So. No, I think they would take the Tribble over the Ferengi anytime, because you know what? There's just some things you don't stoop to.
Yeah, yeah, Ferengi, yeah, yeah, you don't do that. Unless you're Grelka.
We don't recognize certain people.
Grelka from DS9. Whenever she marries,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. To ignore you,
Grelka. Oh, why are you ignoring me? That's a great episode. That's a great episode. anyway, she sends him away, and she keeps digging into, you know, Worf's history and why he accepted this commendation. She digs a little bit too hard, and, you know,
nails him in the pride.
And he doesn't want to give it up, and so she digs in other places. She starts digging in the Klingon records about what happened, and then Mr. Duras goes and stabs her in the belly a couple times.
Yep.
Worf runs to... he's coming to see her for something. Don't know what. It's just, you know, maybe to bite her a little bit.
Apologizing for being a jerk earlier.
Yeah, but, you know, it probably involves biting. You know, knowing Klingons. Anyway, Caesar, he walks in with Alexander. She's dying, and this is the point where she puts Alexander's hands on Worf and is like, this is your dad. She dies. And Worf screams the Klingon blood scream. I think this is the last time we see the Klingon death ritual, because like, I think after Klingon's dying, he doesn't care. No one cares.
No, everybody felt for her, though.
Oh, yeah, Kalar. I love Kalar. I love Susie Flaxen, the actress. I love every time she shows up on the show.
I think I've said before that she's one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, I like her a lot. I like there's Dr. Saylor. I like that she gets a mention as Dr. Saylor, even though they don't ever show her more than once. Worf runs back to his quarters. He throws down his baldric, which is kind of strange. He throws away his communicator, which makes a lot more sense. He doesn't want to be tracked. And I noticed on the table that he throws his communicator down on, it's got the fist thing from that episode, like with Tasha Yar. Or
the battle glove.
Yeah, the battle glove with the poison tips on it. Worf just keeps it, like, laying around. It'd be funny if, like, you know, Alexander just, like, touched it to the point of this, and then he died. That'd been great. Because no, Alexander's annoying.
That would have been horrible. Alexander.
He's an annoying little kid. He's a brat.
I think we would have lost Worf if it hadn't been for him.
Well,
yeah, maybe. After losing Kalar, he is the only thing that kept him fucking grounded. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't really keep him grounded. He sends him away with his parents.
Maybe, but it gives him something to think about.
That's true. But then he starts thinking about Deanna Troi. And then Dax.
Still.
And then Dax.
Yes, but now you're jumping ahead.
Yes, but I'm known to do that. Anyway, he throws his communicator down. It falls off the table. That little fisty spike thing is there, and I'm just like, ah, that's a funny thing from an old episode. He goes over, beams over to the ship, and faces Duras, and he implants a batleth into Duras's chest and neck area. Leaves it there. He challenged Duras to the rite of revenge or something because his woman was killed.
Yeah, because he claimed her as his mate.
Married. Finally, they were married in her death. And he goes and claims his vengeance just right as Riker and Data show up. It's like, no, don't. And it's like, I'm going to hesitate for a second and implant that batleth right where it needs to go. Right between the two Klingon hearts, probably, since they have redundant systems. Anyway, Worf claims Alexander as his son, and the episode is done. This was one of your favorite five. We've kind of, since we're in year two of Synthaholics, we've kind of been revisiting our favorite five. Last week, we talked with Aaron and Andrew about one of my favorites, The Pale Moonlight. This week we're revisiting one of Faith's favorites, Reunion. And then I think next time we do an episode, we'll be doing one of Aaron's favorites, Galileo 7. So a little sneak peek. So does this episode still really resonate with you?
Actually, considerable amount more than it did before. Before when we were doing this episode for the Fave Five, I was actually in a very, very good, 2.5 year long relationship. Since then, I've actually lost him. And when I was watching this episode, I realized that a lot of what was going on, all the underlying story was about pride on all the different parties and the way that they were handling it and conducting themselves. And I mean, the whole reason why we lost Kalar was because of pride. She wanted to know what he wouldn't tell her. So trying to be good to him and making sure that she you know, could help in the best way she knew how, she tried to get all the rest of the information he wouldn't tell her and ended up dying in the process. And it really kicked me in the feels this time around because I lost my boyfriend due to the fact that he didn't want to go to a doctor because of pride. He didn't have insurance and he didn't want to go and see the doctor. And the day that he was to go and see the doctor, he had a major stroke. He later ended up passing away from complications later on, but it really hit home that there's a lot of times that we let our personal pride blind us from a better path and making better decisions. And that sometimes we need to just go ahead and take that out of the equation and step back and look at it from a better perspective instead of what it costs us in terms of pride, because sometimes it's going to cost us a lot more than that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really sorry about that. And, you know, it's really, really a hard time.
It has been, but, you know, I've had the Synthaholics and I've had my friends and everybody else, so it hasn't been, you know, as bad as it could have been. This year has not been kind to any of us.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, we're family here. We love each other, and we love hanging out with each other and talking with each other. And,
you know, we take the good and the bad together.
Take it together, take it in stride, and we're always here for each other. And then that doesn't just us, the extended Synthaholic family. We posted some of this on our Facebook when he originally had a stroke. So I don't know everyone may not be on the Facebook group, but we have kind of mentioned this a little bit before. If you have been, if you haven't, this is the first you're hearing of it. As a family, the three of us, and then all the people that listen to us and comment on our Facebook page, it's great, that you guys are all here and we can all kind of, share together.
It really is, because it lets you know what kind of community that you have behind you. And I had a good sense of what the social environment was around me in that. But I had no idea what people felt and thought of me until that situation occurred. Like, I learned a lot more about myself and the type of person that people see me as than I probably have in any other point in my life. And it's definitely given me a sense of purpose, because I didn't realize that people held me in that high of regard, and it put a lot of things in better perspective, and I've got a lot of better understanding now. It's given me a lot of confidence to just, to do the things that I need to do in spite of the loss and the things that have changed.
Yeah. So this episode's meaning has changed a lot for you then over, this past year then.
Oh, it's huge. And it was actually, I had to go back and watch it two or three more times, because the first couple of times I was literally just sobbing through the last 20 minutes. But, it was definitely one of those where it feels like you yanked the Band-Aid off your heart a little too soon. But
it's cause it's at only the same... go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because it's the only second time we see Kalar. And like, yep. I don't know like how they did it in the writing and how they did this episode, but like, she was really well written. Like, I think everyone loved her, just reading about the Wikipedia and stuff like that. Everyone, like,
it was amazing.
Complained that they killed her, and like, just in two episodes, she was like so stunning that she made that impact on someone, that her death meant that much to you and to all the people that were that miss her, that were sad that character could never come back.
Well, they really invest you in the character, especially they introduce her in a very strong, very passionate fashion, and then they bring her back with Alexander, and it just sort of, she's there, she's trying to help out Worf in spite of him being a stubborn butt and everything else. Like, she's there being her strong self and all of that, and you really just get invested in her in that very short time that you have before they end up taking her away at the end of the episode, and it's very, very surprising.
She's very badass in a very, like, non-Klingon way, though. Because she almost like kind of hates her Klingon side, but she's still like very, very badass in a very like a human way, I guess. Like very, yeah, like very tactful and smart. Yeah.
Cunning.
Yes.
She's very cunning.
She's like a wild fox.
It's sort of like all the best parts of the Klingons and all the better, more wily attributes of a human combined, because she very much has that fox-like perspective.
If only B'Elanna Torres could have been this cool.
Right?
B'Elanna was the whiny B'Elanna. I can fix engines, but I just want to whine about it.
I'm just going to complain, because I'm not... See, that's the difference between B'Elanna and her, is that Kalar has so much confidence that that's all you can see in her. She's just this radiant magnet. You can't help but notice her.
Yeah, she like, she, but B'Elanna wasn't incompetent either. But
no, she's not incompetent. But she did. I'm not. she wasn't incompetent, but she wasn't fully confident. Whereas Kayla was a force unto herself, B'Elanna was still being manipulated by those around her. Like, she still let things manipulate her instead of manipulating things. That's the difference. She didn't have the full amount of control that she had. And Kayla accepted more of herself than the B'Elanna ever did. B'Elanna had a lot of issues accepting her Klingon side. Kayla embraced it.
I don't think Kayla embraced it so much as that she just didn't give a flying frack about it. She did. She used it to her advantage, but at the same time, she also didn't give a frack about it. It's like,
yeah, she didn't let it control her. You know, yeah, okay, this is what I am, but it's not going to dominate my life.
Yeah.
I'll use it as far as I need it.
And then the same thing for her son. You know, she was like, Alexander's going to find his own way.
Yeah.
He's going to find his own way into a bird of prey at the age of 11. Think about that. So he's born, he's conceived, it's season one or two. Can't remember what season. So he's like, this is only season four. So if he's conceived in season one, he's like three at this point. He's three, but it looks like he's like six. And then, you know, there's three more seasons of Deep Space, Next Generation, but then Deep Space Nine starts overlapping at the last couple seasons. So he's not even 11. He's like seven or eight by the time he's on a bird of prey, like, fighting. Yep. Why does he let children on the Klingon ships? That's why he's incompetent and flubbering and, like, you know, like, always screwing stuff up. He's like 8 years old.
See? It's not his fault.
It's like they forget. It's like, oh, it's Alexander. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, this is like one of my favorite episodes, and this is one of my favorite of your five that you picked last year. It's just such a strong episode. TNG, I put it as my third favorite show, but, like, it's fantastic. Or, no, it's my second favorite show. It's fantastic. Kalar's edition is amazing. Klingon stories are really, really good in Next Generation, for the most part. And this was an episode of first. It's the first time we see the Vorcha, first time we see Alexander, first time we see Gowron. Gowron comes up all sorts of times. The Vorcha class is a very cool new ship. I was just so happy to see a new ship. It doesn't happen very often when you see something new in Star Trek, especially the TV show. Because you usually see it at the beginning, and then you don't see much new unless it's a brand new race. But for an existing race, getting that brand new ship was fantastic.
Well, I mean, any of the shiny ships. Like, I like being able to see those in general.
Oh, yeah, and then you have the nice two Bird of Prey coming flanking. It's like, oh, yeah, we got some stuff going on here. We got some serious stuff going on here. Hope there's no cloaked Klingon ship that'll cause a war. Wait, no, that's the wrong movie.
I just got too excited.
So excited.
I got a rating.
Klingons, Tempek, blood wine, alcoholism, poisonism.
The things and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love how they use the pain sticks on him to verify that he's dead. And, like, I know I brought this up when we did, you know, your Fave Five. I'm like, what if he's just such a badass since he's so old? He's been on the council the longest out of any Klingon in recorded history.
It's not even a question of badass.
He's so badass.
The scar tissue.
He's so badass he can ignore the pain. He was just sleeping. Maybe he wasn't dead yet. Maybe he lied about being poisoned. He just wanted to see what happened.
That they sleep on. I think somebody got these concepts from dwarfs. Because, like, seriously, stone. My God.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's a really good point. I mean, like, you know, if you took Star Trek and put it to a fantasy world, you know, you got the Vulcans, you know, are the high elves. You've got the Romulans, or the dark elves. Klingons are. I mean, they're a warrior race. They're kind of like orcs, sort of. I mean, like a cross between orcs and dwarves, sort of.
Yeah, and I'm not going to apologize for that crossover if it offends anybody, because we as nerds should be more open-minded than that.
We are nerds. I love nerding about anything
right. That's like, let's just nerd out about it and have fun with it and not get panties in bunch.
If only they had, like, the giant facial beards. Klingon's a very, very particular.
I don't know. Some of them have some epic facial hair, though. Like, oh, my God.
If you haven't seen my picture on Facebook or anything, I usually keep my facial hair cropped very much like Worf. I was trying for a core for a little while, but I had to cut it shorter for interviews and such.
We have to look professional sometimes.
I also keep my hair long, so I embrace Klingon culture in that way.
Showing my support through the Dark Ages. Wait.
It's like it's not really cosplay. It's just kind of living life as a Klingon.
They've got a word for that, but I'm not sure you're gonna like it.
What?
Fanatic? And it begins with an L.
Lesbian?
Lackadaisical, also called lazy.
What? How is that lazy? Living my life like a Klingon.
No, you're just letting your hair grow.
Yes, I also don't like paying for haircuts.
Aww.
My mom always cut my hair when I was a kid, if you really want to know. My mom always cut my hair. Also, I have a very large face. I don't like having a short hair because it doesn't frame my face very well. I don't have anything to frame my face.
You know, I can actually understand that because some guys really do need it. So, you know, no judgment, but, you know.
Not lazy.
Uh-huh.
No, don't point fingers at me. No, but,
It's okay, because if I'm pointing a finger at you, I'm pointing one right back at myself.
Let's see. So, yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite episodes. It's definitely my favorite out of the Fae Five. The next favorite would have probably been the Tuvok one where he goes crazy.
God, that was so much fun, too.
I was like, when I was picking the episode for today, I was like, oh, I don't know, I kind of want to do that one, but Reunion's so good. So I decided to go with Reunion. So
it's okay. You would have kicked me in the feels regardless.
I'm sorry to put you through that again.
No, you know, honestly, things like that are not a bad thing because it helps you step back and put it in perspective and handle it better. And I'm getting better at those. The more it happens, the easier it is for me to handle it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. That definitely makes sense. Anything else about this episode that really hits home? Or just really stands out for you?
It's the pride thing, more than anything, that really stood out for me. It's just like, you know, it really is astonishing, especially with everything that's fucking going on, how much pride is just with the crap that's going on. Oh, with
the presidential elections?
The presidential elections, everything. Like, everything is pride. It's all image, it's all posturing, it's all who's got the biggest pony. Yes, apparently it's all a measuring contest.
So we
and
need-
I just... I don't know. I don't get it anymore.
We need Picard to come and figure out who's going to be president. We need him to decide. This is like...
He can just come be president.
Or have him just become president. I don't know. He may not want to. But I'd trust his judgment if he were to pick.
Smart man would say no.
Yes, and Picard is a very smart man. He doesn't want to have anything to do with this. No, not at all.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want anything to do with that. But yeah, that really, for me, seems to be the thing that I know I had so much more perspectives that I pulled from that before, but it's just that one thing, just so many people are having a problem with it right now.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great thing about Star Trek and about our lives is that, you know, as we progress, we can glean new meaning from them personally and, you know, otherwise.
Absolutely.
I gotta agree. Pride is a very, very strong theme in this episode, and Picard is also very good about respecting people's privacy, because he gets asked twice. You know, once, like, very directly, and once kind of, like, indirectly by Kalar about, hey, what's going on with this? And she gets shut down, because he's got such respect for Worf. He doesn't want to, you know, give up his crewman's, you know, private business without his consent.
Exactly. You know, and that was if it was her business to know, that was between her and Worf to discuss.
Even though the Klingon did not get his consent for doing the whole arrangement that he did.
Right. There's that too.
Yeah. And then we see, I think this is the first time we're definitely the first time we're confirmed that Duras and the Duras family is in cahoots with Romulans. Well, we knew his father was from the Khitomer thing, but now we know it's a family thing because he was involved with it, and his sisters are involved with it as well.
Well, backstabbing usually goes through the bloodline.
I would love to see like how like I mean, why like they hate each other almost as much as they hate like you know Ferengis. Like why do they have like this tie to like you know to Ferengis? I mean, no, to the Romulans. I'm drinking, guys.
Because some people just don't know any better than being stupid.
Well, I mean, I know they're after a power grab, but I mean, like, you know, they're even though it's a power grab, they're still setting themselves up to be the puppets of the Romulans.
I mean, you would think that if you're going to do a power grab appropriately, you'd ensure that you put yourself in a better position than somebody else's bitch.
Yeah, that just doesn't.
But, you know,
maybe power just blinds him so very much that he's just, you know, doesn't mind. He doesn't mind taking one for the team, as long as he gets to be the team leader.
But you know, they weren't even really being guaranteed that.
No, that's true. And Worf put an end to it with a Bat'leth, so for now, at least.
Good man.
Good man. Oh,
smart man.
Fun bit of trivia. Worf ends up killing Gowron, too, with a Bat'leth, I think. So Worf kills both of the contestants for the seat, the High Council. One in this episode, one later in Deep Space Nine.
Sounds like you're just wrapping up loose ends there.
Huh?
That just sounds like you're wrapping up loose ends.
Yeah, that's what Worf's all about, killing folks.
No, tying up loose ends. Yes. By killing folks.
Yes.
Got to clarify better. People don't understand.
I like to infer things.
Yes, but you have to infer with some sort of substance.
Substance. Like what? Substance abuse, like alcohol? Like lots of alcohol?
Now, see, now who's inferring things?
No!
Sounds like a guilty conscience over there.
No! I haven't drank all the whiskey I took pictures of a week ago.
Uh-huh. Now you definitely sound guilty. Good job. Well done. See, I think, you know, you do the work for me.
I do what I can. I definitely do what I can, Faith.
It's appreciated.
I'm glad the appreciation is reciprocated.
Well, you know, when you work together, you kind of have to appreciate each other.
Skype otherwise. High five!
Woo! Oh, before this gets more awkward.
Before this gets more awkward, we're doing more things that you can't see because this is audio. Silly audio. Why? Why? We're cursing your ears.
Yes, you guys have to subscribe to us to actually get to see video. Ooh, and you can infer from that whatever you like.
Oh, yeah. Well, Aaron is still talking about doing his running through the woods naked thing, I think.
Yeah, we already have, you know, the two of you alternating on who doesn't wear the pants. Or has this become now, like, a unified thing? Are you now both deciding to not wear pants at the same time? Because, like, that could be more information than I want.
I thought you were holding the camera. I thought this was your dream.
No, that'd be two beautiful women. Yeah, no,
Oh, so you're saying I have to get the surgery like Quark did in that one episode?
Excuse me, sir. You are not Asian.
Oh, two surgeries then. Damn it.
There's nothing to help you with that. No, in all fairness, though.
All fairness, I'm not pretty, nor am I Asian. Or woman. Anyways, guys, I know this is a little bit of a short episode, but thank you all for listening.
And it's Aaron's fault. If you're disappointed, blame Aaron. It's
yes,
his fault.
Yes, yes. Faith is just going to throw him under the bus. We miss you, Aaron. I'm sorry you couldn't make it tonight.
I can throw in reverse.
Oh, well, we miss you, Aaron. Sorry you couldn't make it tonight.
I love you.
Love you, too.
I guess it was my turn to be the one on my own with David. Thanks, Aaron.
She'll never recover from this.
Man, you know what? I already accepted the psychological bills that were going to come in working for you two and working with you two. So that bill's already been accepted.
Most definitely. So all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics@yahoo.com or at synthaholicduo on Twitter. You can find me at @Dave_J_Duncan on Twitter. Aaron can be found at Blackbird2004 on Twitter.
And you can find me at Faith Hertzberg on Twitter. It's real hard to remember.
It's really, really hard. I
struggle with it. I forgot the other day what it was.
Trying to log in. It's like, oh, what's my login?
Right. You have no idea. The struggle is real.
We love getting emails. We'd love to read them on the air so we can comment on them and tell you what we think of your email. And so we can tell you what the answer to the questions you're asking. If you're asking questions or just giving comments, we will read it on the air and we will tell you the answer we think, or, you know, just in general response to that said email.
And Aaron really, really, really likes them, so you would make his day if you sent us something. He gets so excited. It's kind of cute. He squeezed like a little girl.
And apparently, if you send pictures of Asian women to Faith, or to me, I'll relay them to Faith.
Not just Asian women. I'm non-discriminatory.
Oh, you're discriminated against me for not being Asian.
You're a guy.
And a guy. It's twice.
That's not my fault. That's not my fault.
It's not my fault either. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. You should check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. You can give us some stars and reviews. That lets us show up easier so that more people can find us and listen to our innate ramblings.
Yay.
Yay. Anyways, guys, live long and prosper. Thank you for listening. Yeah, we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. What's new? What's new with you? What's new with Star Trek, Faith?
I don't really know that. God damn it. As I totally took my tongue. Yeah. Like a pro. Not really sure what's new with Star Wars. Or, god damn it. Don't fucking pitch it to me. Apparently, I'm just going to drop kick the fucker all over the place.
Fuck, what's his name?
Good job.
I'm trying to like just sum this up real quick, and then I'm like blanking on like the essentials.
No, if you hadn't asked that, I would have been able to spit out his name, and now I keep wanting to say Garth, and that's not it.
Garth of Izdar. No, that's the guy who's that's Alec Peters' character in Axanar.